By this, people will know that you are truly a follower of mine. Love one another. So we thank God for the choir reminding us of that. And definitely here at Love Fellowship, we're definitely not a perfect church, but we do love God. I do love God. We do love his word. I do love his word. We do love people. We don't always live it out perfectly all the time, but we do love God. We do love his word. We do love people. So we thank God for the love that he has placed in us. The fruit of the spirit, the first one that's mentioned is love. Love. So we can't always, well, we can't ever really conjure this up on our own, this sacrificial agape type of love. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love others as you love them. Help me to love others more than I even love myself. So, Father, we do thank you for you demonstrating, and you have demonstrated, and you continue to demonstrate your own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What manner of love is this, that one would pour out his life, lay down his life for literally his enemies? We thank you, dear Jesus, even on the cross, I hear you saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I see you on the cross, even, dear God, with two, dear Jesus, with two, those thieves hurling insults at you, and eventually one of them realized he was wrong, and you turned to him and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. So thank you for the great example of love. And Father, now help us to live that out amongst one another and amongst a watching world. So Father, even now, give your people an ear to hear and a heart to receive, dear God. This message is for all of us. And yes, we're going to look at a mother from the scriptures, but this message is for men and women, male and female, those who have children and those who do not have children. So Father, even today, speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Once again, I greet you in the name of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see all of you all. I see some of our out-of-town families here with us as well. So it's just always a blessing to see all of you all here in the house of the Lord. On this Lord's Day, this day that we highlight and talk about our mothers and wives and grandmothers and all of them. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you can stand. And you can either look in your Bible, in the scriptures, or, of course, your e-devices, but also it's in your bulletin. This account, I was looking at it from Mark and Matthew, and so I'm going to preach it primarily from Matthew's account, but I will look at a couple of verses from Mark's account. Again, when you're reading the Bible, it's a blessing to, especially if you're reading through the Gospels, and when you see a particular account, it could be the resurrection or it could be the crucifixion. Read the different gospel accounts, and God gives us different information, all of the same events, but some different perspectives. And so that's always a good thing to do. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at two verses out of Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, and then we're going to look at the rest out of Matthew. So Mark chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says this. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Then in Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, reading through 28, Matthew says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. But Jesus answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came, this mother, she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you have, as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning, saints. The persistent prayer of a pleading mom. The persistent prayer of a pleading mom. You may be seated. The persistent prayer of a pleading mom. Again, on this Lord's Day, this day that we celebrate mothers, I want to thank God for moms. You got to thank God for your mom, for your wife. Thank God for all the ladies. For some, your mother is in glory now. But thank God for those timeless truths, those priceless pearls, those life lessons that mama or grandmama would give you. I often think of some of the things my grandmother used to say to me. And you know, it's an amazing thing. I like sports, and I've been watching the NBA playoffs a little bit, and the professionals do it, but definitely even in college, when they show an athlete, if they're going to say something to somebody, what do they usually say? Thank mama. Hey, mom. Hey, mom. That's what they usually say. Brothers, like I said, dad, they just lead the dad out. They just lead the fathers out. But they usually say, hey, mom. Hi, mom. But we do say, we say hi, mom, this morning. We thank God for our moms. There are many things in the scriptures about fathering and mothering, Brother Joe. There are many great examples of great moms from the scriptures. I could have, as I thought about what the Lord would have me to say this morning, I thought about, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, a great example of a mom, and her wonderful Mary Magnificent when she praised the Lord. Or Hannah, who was Samuel's mom, who had awesome prayer in scripture as well, or Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, or I could have even looked at Eve, or even Proverbs 31, and I've looked at some of those in the past, and I've preached some of those in the past, but this morning, we're going to look at this nameless mom in the scriptures. Sister Mary Ann, she doesn't even have a name. She's not even given a name in the scripture, but yet, before us, she gives us a great example for all of us, not just moms, not just ladies, but all of us, men and fathers and young men and older men as well. She gives us a great example of how you and I should approach our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in verse 24 of Mark 7, the text tells us that Jesus, he's in this region of Tyre and Sidon. It's primarily a Gentile region. He pretty much focused mainly in the Jewish, heavily concentrated Jewish regions. But this region is a Gentile region. And the Bible says he entered into that house and he wanted no one to know it because he wanted to rest and relax a little bit. I mean, it's okay, Christian friend, to pull aside and rest a while. It's okay to allow the Lord to recharge your spiritual batteries. I mean, if you're ministering to others, you're pouring out into other people's lives, you're discipling others and using God's, his spiritual gifts that he has given you to glorify him and to serve others. Every now and then you need to step aside and allow a personal revival. Every now and then you need to step aside and allow personal renewal, even a sabbatical, if you will. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine recently. He's been at his church for quite a few years and he's getting ready to take a several month sabbatical just to go and pray and rest and be with the Lord. We see Jesus, taking a sabbatical, if you will, a short sabbatical, if you will. But this Christian race, how many of y'all know, for all of us, this Christian race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So Jesus often would get away and go pray and spend time with the Father because he had the enormous pressures, if you will, of ministry and healing and preaching and teaching and all those things and people trying to plot to kill him and all that. So he stepped aside for a moment. That was his plan. But the Bible said he could not. He could not, because verse 25 said this lady, this mother, this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaan woman, had found out or heard that Jesus was in the region. She had heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the time of his ministry when he is really getting kind of, for lack of a better word, a little more popular or well known. And people are hearing about his healings, the fact that he has allows the blind to see, and he's cleansing lepers, and he's even casting out demons. And so word is really spreading. So many people are coming to Jesus, some to legitimately get healed or to try to be saved, like Zacchaeus or Nicodemus. But some are just coming just to see what's going to happen next. And then, of course, some are coming to try to accuse him of different things. But people are coming. And so this lady has heard about Jesus. So she hears about Jesus and she has an issue. She has a daughter who's severely demon possessed. But she hears about Jesus. In verse 25 of Mark 7 says, he comes and falls at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that's a good place to be. I said, that's a good place to be, at the feet of Jesus. When you're dealing with the stressors of life, at the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. When, as a parent, mom or dad, when your kids start kind of drifting off course a little bit and you see them kind of hanging with the wrong crowd and maybe they don't even see it, but they're kind of getting off track and maybe they're not making the grades they used to make or they kind of doing this or doing that. At the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. That's a good place for you to be and a good place for you to take them to the feet of Jesus. When you're having trouble on your job, when you're having trouble on your job, maybe you're working for a crazy boss, or maybe you are a boss, and you got people under you who don't want to halfway work, and you're getting stressed out all on your job, at the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. Maybe you got some marital issues, some marital problems, at the feet of Jesus. Y'all gonna help me preach this? At the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. Maybe you're having problems in your singleness. Maybe you're feeling lonely or I want to get married. I can't meet the right person. All these things are going on. I want to try to keep myself pure sexually and I'm fighting this flesh and all this is going on. Guess what? At the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. Maybe you're having some kind of financial problem. Guess what? Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. So at the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. Maybe you got a medical issue. Maybe you got some illness going on. Guess what? He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. At the feet of Jesus, the lady with the issue of blood, she would tell you that's a good place to be. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, saints, whatever you're battling with this morning, I promise you, I tell you, at the feet of Jesus, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to take that situation. That's a good place. You need hope. You need joy. You need peace. At the feet of Jesus, he dispenses all of those things. As a matter of fact, he is the Prince of Peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of Peace. So this lady said, if I can just get to Jesus. And she's a Gentile. She's not a Jewish lady. And she's heard some things about Christ. And she said, if I can just get to Jesus, everything would be all right. Oh, that's a message for somebody right there this morning. If you just spend some time with the Lord, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. So she said, if I can just get to Jesus, she's no different from the lady who had the issue of blood, who said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed and made whole. She's no different from the Samaritan woman at the well who met Jesus and Jesus told her all about her life. She said, is this the Messiah? And then she went and began to tell everybody else about Jesus the Messiah. She's no different from the demoniac that was hanging out in the graveyard who needed to see Jesus. She's no different than Nicodemus who came to Jesus' house by night and knocked on his house and Jesus told him, you need to be born again. She's no different from Zacchaeus who ran in front of Jesus, a little short fella, and got up in the tree where he can see Jesus. And Jesus, come down out of the tree. Today, salvation has come to your house. She's no different from you or from me. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus. He can give you peace in the midst of a storm. He can give you joy in the midst of sorrows. Those used to be for me. I'm just being transparent. For me, those used to be just like some little cliches and stuff like that. But now I can truthfully say he can give you peace in the midst of a storm. He can give you joy in the midst of sorrows. So she came and she's at the feet of Jesus. Keep that picture in your mind. And let's look at Matthew's account. The first two verses in Matthew 15 pretty much reiterate what I just read. Talks about Jesus being in another region, the region of Tyre. And Sidon, which once again is a heavily populated Gentile region, non-Jews. And this woman of Cana comes to Jesus. Verse 22 of Matthew 15 comes to Jesus and says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She comes and asks for mercy. You might want to write this down if you're taking notes. Our God, our Christ, he's a God of mercy. I say he is a God of mercy. So she's asking for mercy, Sister Kiara, and she's going to the right person because Jesus dispenses mercy. The prophet Jeremiah says it better than I. He said, morning by morning, each morning we have new mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. You were blessed to see it, make it through yesterday. Guess why you made it through yesterday? It wasn't because you were so smart and so had so much ingenuity and so this and that, so strong, so big and so bad. You made it yesterday. I made it yesterday on the mercy of God. On the mercy of God. And guess what? When I woke up this morning, when you woke up this morning, it was God's mercies, His grace that woke us up. And if we make it through this day, it's by His mercy that we make it through another day. If we make it through Monday, it's by His mercy. If we make it through Tuesday, it's by His mercy, His grace. So Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. I love what 2 Corinthians 1:3 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So if you need mercy, if you need grace, if you need comfort, go to Jesus. He's the Father of all mercies. See, there are some times in your life and times in my life, all we can do is just cry out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm reminded of when Jesus was talking about the public and the religious man who stood and saw my Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner over there, that publican over there, you know, I tithe, and he listed his spiritual resume. And then here it is, the other man though, who was a sinner, he smote his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man, the publican who said, I have mercy on me, a sinner, he's the one who went home justified. God is a God of mercy. I said, God is a God of mercy. And this mother in the text, she says, Lord, listen, hear it well, read it well. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. Somebody missing that. Her daughter is demonically possessed. She comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Now, anybody that's a parent or a grandparent or got kids, you know, when your kids are going through stuff, it's just as hard or harder on the parent than it is on the child. By God's grace, I didn't do a lot of crazy stuff when I was in high school because I saw my brother, older brother, minister term, who did a lot of crazy stuff, and I saw my dad give him the beat down. So I'm like, I don't want that beat down. So I didn't do a lot of crazy stuff, but I did do enough crazy stuff that I look back on, I said, man, I caused my parents some grief and some heartaches of some of the foolish stuff I did in my life growing up. So as a parent, when your children are going through things, be it something medically or just be it something emotionally or whatever it might be, that's rough on a parent. So this parent says, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me because my daughter is severely demon possessed. You know, she's saying, I need help, and nobody has been able to help her. Nobody has been able to help her. She said, I need help. So again, she's like some of the other saints in the Bible, some other people in the Bible who have these tough situations and have gone to this person and that person and can't find help. So again, she is like the woman with the issue of blood who had used up all of her money and said, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she is like the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fiery furnace. They needed the help of God, the help of Jesus. She's no different from Daniel in the lion's den who needed the protection and the help of God. She's no different from that brother who had been laying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And every time, every year when the pool would get disturbed, he couldn't make it in. So Jesus said, do you want to be well? And he said, of course I do. Jesus said, well, pick up your bed and walk. And guess what? The brother who had been laying by the pool 38 years picked up his bed and walked. So she's no different from the lady who was bent over for over 30 years. And she met Jesus, and Jesus healed her body. Again, saying, she's no different from you and from me. We need Jesus each and every day. We need Jesus. Lord, have mercy on me. We need the Lord. Sister Bray, we need the Lord. Even as a Christian, if you get to the point you think, yeah, I've arrived, I'm reading my Bible every day, I'm praying, I got this, you're getting ready for a fall. Pride goes before a fall. We need the Lord each and every day. The closer I don't know about you, but the closer I get to the Lord, and I thank God for that, the more I realize I need him. The closer I get to him, the more I realize I need him. So she said, I need to get to Jesus. Who you gonna call when the chips are down? Who you gonna call when your back is up against the wall? Who you gonna call? Not Ghostbusters, for those of you who live back in the 80s, not Ghostbusters. You gonna call on the Lord. You're going to call on Jesus, Mother Lawson, the one who can, Sister God, the one who can hear and answer our cry. I often hear Sister Pittner pray this, and Jesus is a doctor in a sick room. He is a lawyer in a courtroom. He is our bridge over troubled water. Jesus is. He is our rock in a weary land. Christ is all that we need and even so much more than that. So this lady said, I need to get my daughter and myself to Jesus. Lord, have mercy on me. So let's look and see what Jesus, how he responds in Matthew 23 of Matthew 15, rather verse 23. She said, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. And then verse 23, he answered her not a word. So Jesus didn't say a word. This mom who was pleading, this mom who needed help, this mom who daughter was severely demon possessed, who had said, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus does not answer her. Then the rest of that verse says, his disciples came, and they really made it worse, came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. First of all, you know, when I'm reading the Bible, I often say, Lord, let me just, like I'm there. Let me just put me right there. Let me see what's going on. In this verse, it's pretty simple. I've read it about 20 times this week, probably more. But she says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Y'all see that, right? Jesus doesn't say a word. And then his boys, the disciples, you and me, the disciples, we're his disciples, right? We're his followers, right? We're his learners, all right, Brother Josh? They come up and say, Jesus, send her away, for she's crying out after us. It's right. I'm not trying to get too deep or nothing. First of all, our brothers, Peter and John, whoever, she's not really crying out after us. She's not really crying out after y'all. She's crying out after Jesus. She's crying out after the Lord. He says, no, she's crying out after us. No, not really. If you're taking notes, jot this down. I'm going to come back to the disciples in just a second. But Jesus didn't answer her. Write this down. Sometimes when we pray, it seems as though Jesus is not listening. You ever experienced that? I mean, you're praying your little heart out. It just seems as though God, it seems like Jesus is not listening. That's what it seems like. I'm going to come back to that. But that's what it seems like sometimes. Because she has a desperate situation, and Jesus does not even answer her. He ignores her. And then the disciples come, and they said, let's just send her away. The disciples sometimes have what I call, Brother Brandon, a send her away spirit. Send them away spirit. Now look, let's put ourselves in the text. We are his disciples. We are his followers, right? So we can't just point the finger at Peter and John and those guys. You remember that time the children, Jesus was tired, he had been ministering, and then children kept coming to him, and the disciples, oh no, y'all leave Jesus alone. No, Jesus said, no, let them come unto me, suffer them to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God, such is the kingdom of heaven, let them come to me. But the disciples wanted to send them away. Y'all remember that day when Jesus had been teaching and preaching, and he had taught and had preached all day long. It was 5,000 men there, not counting women and children. Jesus was still preaching and teaching, and the disciples came up to Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus, you need to stop preaching and teaching. Let's send them away. Because it's getting late in the evening, and through their aisle thinking, it seemed kind of logical. Send them away where before the store closes. Not the store, but the store. Let them go into town. And that's kind of logical. And Jesus said, no, don't send them away. Jesus said, you all give them something to eat. And they were like, well, we got a little money, but we can't feed all this crowd. Of course, y'all know Jesus fed all of them. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000, not counting the women and children. But the disciples wanted to send them away. What about you? What about me? When people need ministering to, when people need Jesus, do we have a send them away spirit? Do we say stuff like, you know, I don't really have time to fool with him or her today? Do we say stuff like, I don't really have time to help them today. I don't really have time to share the gospel today. What's more important? What's more important as we live as followers of Christ? What's more important than giving not a hand out, but a hand up? What's more important than sharing the good news with somebody who needs to hear the good news? What's more important than that? But the disciples had a send them away spirit? Do we send people away with our attitudes? To my followers of Christ, now do we send people away with the way we treat or act or talk to others? Do I have a send them away type of spirit? Because look, just like in the text, many times when they come to us, many times when they come to the church, collectively, or us individually, a lot of times, even though they might come to us, it's really more like the sister in the text. They really trying to get to Jesus, many of them. So our job, here it is, our job is just point them to Jesus, to lovingly and prayerfully and caringly point them to Jesus, to be the hands and feet for Jesus, to minister to those who are like this lady in the text, who's saying, Lord, have mercy on me. So let's not have a send them away type of spirit. I had to share this. Oftentimes, as a pastor and, of course, being in church most of my life, a lot of my life, it's amazing when you have those budget meetings. One of the most contentious parts is the whole benevolence thing. Now, I get it. We need to be good stewards. We need to be wise and be good stewards. But God gives so that we can give. I mean, we need to be good stewards. Don't get me wrong. We don't supposed to be flipping. But as I look at the life of Jesus, as I look at Acts chapter 2, and that's where we pattern our lives individually and collectively as a church after the Bible, I see Acts chapter 2. I see the church in Acts chapter 2 when those who had needs, they were coming together and dispensing so that all would have. So oftentimes we can have a send them away spirit just by our attitude, by our actions, by our own fleshly habits sometimes. Now, I know you are not going to admit this. I was debating whether should I even share this or not. I said, well, I'm going to share it. I'm not going to give you any names or nothing. But there have been times, talking about how it's easy to have a send them away spirit. Now, I'm not saying if you got somewhere you got to go, but there was a time, this was not long ago, I was somewhere out and I saw somebody I knew. And I saw they probably had a need, and I knew them, but I was like, I was just like the disciples. I had a send them away spirit. I was like, I almost slid down in my car. I said, I hope they don't see me. If they see me, they're going to ask me for something. I hope they don't see me. I got convicted afterwards when I was about halfway home. I got convicted. That was a send them away spirit. I should at least say, well, brother, what do you need? Can I help you out today? I don't really have time, but can I help you out? So we can all, if we're not careful, have a send them away spirit without even praying about it. You know, sometimes you pray about it, God might say, just keep on going. Yeah, you got somewhere else to go. But we initially need to pray about it. So these disciples, they said, Lord, Jesus, send them away. Send them away. And let's see what Jesus did in verse 24. First, he was silent. Make sure we're catching this picture. This lady has a great need. She's silent. He's silent. And so then he answers her because they said, send her away. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not going to send her away because she has a need. Verse 24, Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So first Jesus was silent. She's at the feet of Jesus. She said, Jesus, help me. Have mercy on me. Jesus doesn't say a word. And then the first sentence that he shares, it's not like almost like what we would think he would say. But he said it. Here it is right here in the Bible. He says, basically, I don't have time. I don't have time for you right now. I'm first sent here to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me unpack that real quickly. When Jesus came, he came on a mission. He came on a mission from the Father. He even often said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And so Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost, right? When he was here on earth, he did save Jews and Gentiles. But his primary focus, his primary mission, just kind of like even Paul initially, his primary mission was to the Jewish people. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's just how God chose to roll out the gospel. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 1:16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So Jesus was strategic. He said, I'm doing what the Father tells me. I'm going primarily, if you follow his steps on earth, it was mainly in heavily concentrated areas of Jews. Unlike today in the text, he's in an area with some non-Jews, more non-Jews. So, you know, it's good to have our kind of focus and mission and what I'm trying to do. So even as a church, We're called, all churches are called to make disciples. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 1. Throughout the Bible, we're called to make disciples. So as a church, love, fellowship, one of the ways to make disciples is through preaching and teaching. One of the ways is through like Sunday morning, Sunday blast, Sunday school. You ought to come to men's class or ladies' class, or we have our young people. Tanya, she's always, Sister Tanya, always Oak Winds, ready to teach every morning from K through second grade. We got a few in that age group, but nobody's usually here. But that's one way to disciple. That's one way to have a mission to make disciples. Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, we meet every Wednesday night. We have prayer time. We also have class time. We just started I Am a Church Member. Real good study. So jump in. We just started. So if you want to, you've missed last Wednesday, you can come this Wednesday. That's one of the ways to make disciples. Small group Bible studies. Acts chapter 2. As soon as people got saved, they began to come and meet together for the apostles' doctrine and teaching to learn and to grow. I often tell Christians, especially Christians who don't go to church, some of them who don't go to church, if you don't go to church, you're not going to grow properly. If you don't come to the church doesn't save you, no. You get saved through Christ. But if you don't come to a local assembly and attach to some other believers, you're not going to grow properly. That's why all those one another's are in the Bible. Love one another, serve one another, encourage one another. All that's right in the Bible. And then for evangelism, lately as a church, what we do every first Saturday at 10:30, we meet here at the church, we pray. And then we go out, Brother Griggs lead us, go in the area, mainly do some prayer walking. That's a powerful thing to do. Just walk and pray for your neighbors. What an amazing thing. Just walk and pray for your neighbors. I mean, God can do more with that than what we can do with us. Just walk and pray for your neighbors. If you got a heart for the homeless, every Monday at 10:30, we meet down at the, we just started this meet down at the Chattanooga Community Kitchen and just kind of hang out and pray with folks and minister down there as the Lord leads. There are many ways to reach out, and many ways to have a mission, just as Christ had a mission. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he also reached the Gentiles as well. So we as Christians, Acts 1:8, we need to be his witnesses in our Jerusalem. That's our immediate context. Could be your home, could be your job, could be East Chattanooga. Also in Judea, that's spreading on out a little bit. Could be this city, this state. Also Samaria, that could be the United States. And also even to the ends of the world. And so even as a church, I'm excited because we get a chance to help 6 missionaries to spread the gospel all over the world. But we want to share the gospel, right? We want to share the gospel. I'm going to say that one more time. We want to share the gospel. So Jesus says, first, not a word. And then Jesus says, basically, I don't really have time right now. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So let's see how she responds. Let's see how she responds to first silence and then really saying, okay, I hear all that, but I don't really have time right now. Look how she responds. We're talking about things we can learn from her. Then she came, verse 25, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. So she worshiped me. She said, Lord, help me. I mean, sometimes that's all you can get out of those 3 words. Lord, help me. One of the saints was just telling me last Sunday, they had a Lord, help me moment. They cried out and said, Lord, help me. And God specifically helped them in that specific situation. So here's it. If you're taking notes, here it is. As you come to the Lord, as you come with your request to the Lord, bring your worship. Bring your worship. Bring your worship. As you come with your request, bring your worship. Don't just come asking for stuff. Don't just come asking for something. Bring your worship. Bring some thanksgiving. Because he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be thanked. So bring your worship. This sister, even though Jesus was silent and then didn't say a word and then said something that wasn't so endearing per se, she still worshiped. I said, she still worshiped. Now, if that had been like us now, if, you know, things kind of went like that, we probably would have left the church, turned our back on the Lord, and did all kind of stuff. But she came and worshiped. We need to major in worshiping, Brother Shivers. I think if we majored in worshiping, many of the trials and tribulations and stuff that we deal with, many of those things would fade away in the past. They would fade away in the background as we focus on worshiping him. Because number one, as we focus on worshiping him, whatever situations we are dealing with, after we get through worshiping and praising a big God, a big old God, that situation that is big, but after we get through looking at a big God, we look back at that situation and that situation doesn't seem so big anymore. That situation, and see, to those disciples, feeding 5,000, that was a big thing. But once they looked at Jesus a little bit and listened to him, hey, feeding 5,000, not counting women and children, that was nothing. That was nothing to our Lord. So this lady worshiped. Happy Mother's Day again, by the way. This lady worshiped. Jesus said God seeks true worshipers, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Beloved, this is one of the great gifts, Sister Marissa, one of the great gifts to the Christian. The pagan, the Jehovah Witness, the Mormon, the atheist, the Muslim, they can't worship God. But you and I, those of us who have been redemed, those of us who have admitted, hey, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, those of us whose the Holy Spirit is inside of us, we can worship God. We can praise God. We can worship him every day. And God seeks true worship. That's what Jesus said. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Any worshipers in the house this morning? Anybody just want to worship God? Want to be thankful to God? Worship him for just who he is? Not even yet about what he's done, but just for who he is. Just for who he is. He is an omniscient God. He knows all things. Oh, that deserves worship right there. He's an omnipotent God. He's all powerful. Oh, that deserves worship right there. He's an omnipresent God. Everywhere, all at the same time. That deserves worship. I don't know anybody else who knows all things. I don't know anybody else who's all powerful. I don't know anybody else who's everywhere all at the same time. The only person I know is that it's God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And he deserves worship. He deserves our worship, beloved. This lady got it. This lady got it. She worshiped. She fell at his feet, Mark says. And Matthew says she worshiped. She worshiped him. This is a great proof text for all the skeptics and doubters who say that now Jesus never said he was God. No, he just read the Bible. Jesus is as other people would say, he's a prophet. And he is. But, other people you see in the Bible, like a Paul or on one occasion John, and when people would try to worship them, when people would come up to them, they would quickly say, no, don't worship me. Only worship God. Only worship God. So here it is, Jesus. This lady comes and worships him. And guess what? Jesus receives the worship. And we know only God deserves worship, right? Jesus knows that, right? So he receives the worship because he is God the Son. He is God, a very God. That's why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father, we are one of the exact same kind. He's God the Son. He is God, a very God. So this is what we call a proof text from the Bible to show people that, hey, that Jesus is God. He receives worship. If he was only a prophet, he would say, no, don't worship me. But he receives worship. Have you worshiped him today? And we worship him corporately here together this morning. But see, you didn't have to wait until you got here to 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday morning to worship him. Worship time is whenever you get up, whenever you can open your eyes, whenever you can articulate, whenever your heart. Worship time is 24/7. Don't wait for church time to just worship. I worship him every day. I said, worship him every day. So this week said, so I'm going to worship him more this week than I did last week. So the rest of the day, worship him. Tomorrow, worship him. Tuesday, worship him. Watch this. Worship him with your lips and with your lifestyle. Worship him every day. I said, worship him every day. Worshiping is a lifestyle, by the way. So Jesus, he's silent. And then he says, basically, in essence, I don't have time for you right now. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're a Gentile. You're a non-Jew. I don't really have time for you now. But this lady presses on in. She shows great faith. And she worships. And asks him, Lord, help me. So let's see how Jesus answers this time. Verse 26, and I'm almost through. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. What are you saying, Jesus? Over the years, if I've read that before and different things, two things real quickly. In biblical days, most of the time, when the word dog is used, it's used in a very derogatory type of way. Most of the dogs in biblical days were scavengers. They were just, you know, they weren't viewed well at all. So usually when this word dog is used, even when Jesus used it in some other place in the gospel, it's a very negative or derogatory phrase. But in this verse, so it's good to do just extra study. In this verse, it's more of an endearing phrase. In this verse, the word dog is more the domesticated dogs we know about today. You know, little Fifi or little Coco, sister cousin, or in Oak Wind House, or our grubby love Gracie. It's kind of more of an endearing phrase. So really, what Jesus is saying here in verse 26, it's not a real stern rebuke. It's really like Jesus is really kind of setting her up to exercise her faith. So he's really, and even when he talks about children's bread, metaphorically, that's talking about his message or the gospel. And so he's basically saying, hey, look, our gospel, first, I don't need to take it to the little dogs, meaning really the Gentiles, first I need to give it to the Jews. That's kind of what he's saying. He's saying, I don't need to give the gospel to you yet. I need to give it to the Jews first and then to you. So it's not a real negative, statement, as it might appear to be. But then in verse 27, it's still Jesus being silent. It's still Jesus saying, I don't really have time for you right now. And it's still Jesus saying, the gospel, I'm really going to take that. I'm not going to take it to the Gentiles first. I'm going to take it to the Jews first. So it's really kind of reiterating what he had said previously. But let's see what this lady does. And she said, yes, Lord. She still says, addresses him very endearing. She says, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So in other words, she's still being persistent. She's still hanging in there. She's not saying, well, I'm going to just give up now. She said, yes, Lord. Okay, you're right. But still, you still throw us some little crumbs. Throw me something. Throw us some little crumbs. So if you're taking notes, you want to jot this down again. Be persistent in your prayer life. Sometimes we give up too soon. We pray for something one time or every now and then. No, be persistent in your prayer life. I mean, Mark even said this lady kept on asking Jesus. Brother Olin, she didn't get turned off right away. She kept on asking Jesus, even though Jesus was silent, even though Jesus basically about twice, I don't really have time for the Gentiles right now, for you and you a Gentile. She kept on asking. She kept on praying. So be persistent as you pray for whatever various situation you're in. Be persistent as you pray for your child or your grandchild. I need to be persistent when I pray for my nephew who's in and out of jail. I need to be more persistent in praying for him. Keep on praying. That's what Jesus said. Keep on praying. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Some of you are the persistent prayer of a pleading mom. You might want to use this acronym, P-U-S-H, PUSH, the PUSH method. Somebody say PUSH. PUSH, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. I said pray until something happens. Because look, this is not like Jesus is a little genie or something. And you pray it three times, you get your wish. No, this is not name it or claim it, nab it or grab it, call it and haul it. It's not that. But if you consistently pray, Jesus does hear and answer prayers. Now, he may not give you the answer you really think you need or want, but he hears and answers prayers. And watch this. Whatever you're praying about, whatever or whoever you're praying about, he may not change that situation. He may not change them. But watch this. At the very minimum, he can change you. At the very minimum, he can change your heart. At the very minimum, he can change your attitude toward the situation. So the situation might stay the same. I'm not going to mislead you. I'm not going to say it's going to always change. It might stay the same. But as you pray, he can strengthen you even as you pray. Wait a minute. I hear somebody. I hear Paul who had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times. The Lord remove this thorn. We don't know what it was, but Lord remove this thing from me. But I hear God said no. I said, Jesus said no. Now we don't like that answer, but Jesus said no. He said, but look, this is what I am going to do for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient that my power is perfected in your weakness. Now, I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you the strength to make it through it. I'm going to give you the strength to endure it. God has grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. If God drops you down in a purple trial, guess what? He got some purple grace. If he drops you down in a red trial, guess what? He got some red grace. If he drops you down in a blue trial, guess what? He got some blue grace. If you drop you down in a black trial, he got some black grace. If he drops you down in a white trial, he got some white grace. Whatever trial, whatever test you're dealing with, guess what? God has the grace. He said it. I'm just repeating what he said. He said his grace is sufficient. Oh, somebody ought to be shouting or raising your hand or something. His grace is sufficient. Because sometimes he doesn't always remove the thorn. He doesn't always take us out of the situation. He doesn't always take that crazy person off your job. He might put them even closer to you. They were sitting at the other end of the hall. Now they're sitting right next to you. Wow, I prayed and it got worse. But he can give you the grace. I said he can give you the grace. He can give you the grace to rock it, to make it on through that thing. The persistent prayer of a pleading mom. Even though Jesus was silent, even though Jesus said, hey, look, I don't really have, you know, I've come from a household of Israel. I don't really have time for the Gentiles right now. She kept on praying. She kept on worshiping. She kept on letting her request made known to him. I got a severely demon-possessed daughter. And then look at what happens. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. I mean, she was persistent. She kept on praying. Jesus said, great is your faith. And he said, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She didn't have to go back to the doctor. She didn't have to go back to rehab. She didn't have to, that very hour, the Bible says, she was healed. Mark said it this way. Mark says, Jesus said, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter in Mark 7:29. And then when she got home, when sister girl got home, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. That made me think about the man who was demonically possessed in the graveyard, breaking chains and just acting a fool. And then Jesus cast out the demons. Next time they saw that brother, they said he was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now here it is. This young daughter who was severely demon possessed, the mother gets back home. She just lying on the bed, just chilling on the bed. Jesus said, great is your faith. How is your faith in Christ this morning? How is your faith? How's your saving faith? That's where it starts. Our first faith is faith in him for salvation, our saving faith. How's your deliverance faith? Do you believe God can deliver you out of that stronghold, deliver you out of that situation? How's your sustaining faith? Do you have confidence that he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it? How's your faith this morning? Again, when his mom got back home, her daughter was healed. So whatever problems this morning, saints, whatever problems you're dealing with, whatever demons, whatever trials, demon possession still exists, by the way, whatever trials, whatever things are going on in your house and in your marriage and on your job, whatever's going on, Jesus has the power. I said, there is one called Jesus who is greater than whatever situation you or I are dealing with. That there is one who is greater. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from falling. So as a child of God, as a mom, as a dad, as a person who maybe don't have any children, be persistent in your prayer life. If you caught this before, you might want to jot these down if you didn't write them down before. Be persistent in your prayer life. We learned this lesson from the text today, from this lady in the text today. Be persistent in your prayer life. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper of God, a worshiper of Jesus. Have strong faith in Christ. Have strong faith in God, in the Lord. See, and even when your faith and my faith is kind of feeble, kind of weak sometimes, as long as God, as long as Jesus is the object of your faith, you can have weak faith. But if your weak faith is in a strong God, you'll still come out all right. Oh, I need to repeat that. You can have weak faith, but in a strong God, and still come out all right. I can have strong faith, but not have God or Christ as the object of my faith. My faith is strong, but because God is not the object of that thing, will still be messed up. That thing will still be messed up. Not only that, not only have strong faith in Christ. Take that issue. Take that person. Take him or her. Take them to the Lord. Be like the lady in the text. Be at the feet of Jesus. Worship him. Say, Lord, I need help. Lord, have mercy. And then watch what Jesus can do. I said, watch what Jesus can do. I mean, he can bring you through that situation. Do I have a witness? He can bring you through. Can he bring you through? Won't he bring you through? He can bring you through. I said, he can bring you through. I'm going to say that one more time. He can bring you through. He can bring you through. You asked the three Hebrew boys. He brought them through. You asked Daniel in the lion's den. He brought them through. You asked Jonah in the belly of the fish. He brought him through. He asked this lady. He brought him through. Asked the woman with the issue of blood. Asked the Hebrews. They were there at the Red Sea and the mighty army rushing down on them. God parted the Red Sea, made it I-75 real quickly and just got them on over. God can bring you through to the persistent prayer of a pleading mom. The persistent prayer of the saints of God. We have a God. We have a Christ who can bring us through. Give him a hand clap of praise. I'm through. Give him a hand clap of praise. Be persistent in your prayer. Be a worshiper. Have strong faith in Christ. And then ask him for help. Ask him for help. These are some simple points from this text before us today that will help us in this Christian walk.